Welcome to Tape 4, Problem Solving Through Creativity. Prepare now to focus on the problem-solving technique of workshop and assistance. In a moment, you'll be joining Chuck Morrison as he discusses this concept and technique. But first, take a moment to visualize your workshop. You may use this cycle to either design a new workshop or to redesign your workshop as it exists now. With each use of this tape, your workshop will become clearer and more detailed. Remember, a successful application of any technique is the result of repetition. And now relax, listen closely, be here now, and be open to solutions.
The fact is he had results. Right? Based on results, he was very, very wealthy. He created something that is still in existence today. The Carnegie Foundation is still financing things. In his lifetime, Andrew Carnegie, he understood the concept of giver's gain. One of the reasons he was so wealthy was that in his lifetime, he personally gave away over $500 million. $500 million he gave away. That's one of the reasons he was as wealthy as he was, because the concept is the law. What you give is what you get. So there's a real tricky one for you. You want to make more money? Give away money. People go, but I can't, I'm too broke. Guess why, right? What you give is what you get. The technique, what Hill discovered was he had this interview with Carnegie. Carnegie also, by the way, his mother, when he left Europe, when he was a very young boy, his mother told him, son, go to America. He came from a very poor family. And his mother told him, son, go to America because the streets are paved with gold. And guess what? Okay. And for him, the streets were paved with gold, literally. Carnegie and him got together for this little interview. They spent a few hours together, and something clicked between them. Some kind of electricity, some kind of attraction happened. And Carnegie said, listen, Mr. Hill, I enjoy you, and I enjoy what we've been talking about, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to have you come back tomorrow and let's talk some more about it. Because what Hill was talking about was he wanted to know what made Carnegie successful. What created this success, this tremendous success for you in your life? How did it happen? What made it happen? And Carnegie said, well, I don't know exactly what made it happen. I don't know how to explain it, but I'd like to find out. Because I believe that there is something specific that could be pinned down that caused it to happen. And so they came together for three more days and they talked about that whole subject. What caused the success that he had in his life, that Carnegie had, to occur to such a great degree? And they didn't come to any direct solution about why it happened. But what Carnegie ended up offering to Napoleon Hill was a job. He said, I'll tell you what, Mr. Hill, I'm very interested in finding out the answer to that question. And so what I propose to you is that you come to work for me, and that you work for me for the next 20 years of your life. If it takes 20 years, you'll be working for me for 20 years. And what I will do for you is I will set up interviews with the most successful people on the planet today, right? Some of the people that he set up interviews with. Let's see if I can find the list. Is it in the front of the book? Yeah. Henry Ford, William Wrigley, George Eastman, Charles Schwab, Theodore Roosevelt, Wilbur Wright, Ogden Armour, Arthur Brisbane, King Gillette, John D. Rockefeller, Thomas Edison, Frank Woolworth, Clarence Darrow, Woodrow Wilson, William Howard Taft, Luther Burbank, Alexander Graham Bell, right? Lots and lots of very, very successful people. All the people around the world, he didn't just go to the United States, he went all around the world, 500 people of various cultures, races, religions, sexes, men and women, right? All over the world, Carnegie set up these appointments for Hill to go talk to these people and find out why they became successful. What was it that caused their success? What was the one thing in common between all these people? And after 20 years of research, Hill found the answer, and the answer is in this book. Right. Now, when Carnegie first proposed that job to Hill, he said, that's what I'll do for you. The catch is that I'm not going to pay you a salary. I'll just set up the interviews and make sure that you get there, but I'm not going to pay you to do this. So you have a wife and family. You need to figure out some way to support them because I'm not going to pay you to do this, but I want you to do this job. Do you want to take it or not? And Hill was very young at the time, and he was broke also. He came from a very poor family. And what he said, you know, the conscious mind was, you know, I've heard him talk about it on tape before. I haven't ever heard him in person, but I've heard his lectures on tape. And one of the things that came to mind, imagine the richest person in the world just about offering you a job and they're telling you they're not going to pay you, right? Conscious mind, reason and logic said, this guy's nuts, you know? He's not going to pay me a salary. He wants me to work for him for 20 years. But the subconscious mind, his intuition said, do it. This is an opportunity that is never going to come by again. And so he decided to do it. And over the period of time, what he discovered was all these people, every single different race, religion, culture, age, different educational backgrounds, everything about them was different. No two things were the same with any of these people, except for one simple item. And the item was that they all had the exact same thought process. The same exact thought process caused all of these people to be successful in whatever area of their lives they were successful in. Right? And one of the other things he discovered, and he talks a lot about it in the book, was one of the keys to the thought process was, guess what? Anybody have an idea? Maybe I'm not being clear enough. Pictures, goals. But there's another word that covers all that, and it has to do with creativity. Imagination. Imagination is the key. Every single one of us, when we were little, you remember how great your imagination was at one point in your life? And what do we start hearing as we get older? That's just your imagination. Right? Just your imagination. Oh, is that all? Albert Einstein said it clearest and simplest. He said, imagination is everything. Everything. Right? There's somebody who had some degree of success in his life. What he meant by that was that every single thing in this room, everything in this room, you included, started out as an idea at some point. Every single thing that we have in the world that's created started out, guess where? In somebody's mind as an idea. You included. You started out as an idea in somebody's mind at some point. Everything about us starts out here with the imagination. What's more real? Is the building that we are in right now more real than the idea in the mind of the person that created the building? Which is more real, the building or the idea? Think about that. See, the conscious mind, the reason and logic mind says, the building is real, right? Cement on the floor, wood on the walls, a ceiling. I can walk on it, I can touch it, I can feel it. This is what's real. This is reality. The fact is that we could have a demolition team come here and destroy this building within a matter of days. They could clear the lot, they could take away the debris, and nothing would exist here any longer. Is that not true? Right? Nothing would be here. But the idea that created this building, it exists for eternity. It cannot be destroyed. So which is more real? The building or the idea? The idea is what's more real. And what that means is that using your levels, going into alpha to the subjective area of your mind is where the reality lies, the projector versus the film. And when we create there, then the film becomes whatever we want. The groundwork happens automatically when we create here. And the key to imagination and creativity and working with that kind of thought process is, we touched on it earlier today, having fun, being excited, being childlike. When we do the Psy 1 class for children, I mean, the energy in the room is awesome. Because all those children are still in touch with that, right? They haven't gotten serious yet, right? We don't have to worry about what everybody thinks about us. We don't have to worry about looking silly until we start getting to be adults. Right? The key is to be childlike, not childish, but childlike. Get back in touch with that playful, open, unlimited imagination, because that's where all the keys are, and we all were born with it. Right? The technique that Hill refers to and the technique that we're going to do in a moment is the most powerful tool on this planet right now. That is my belief, and it's the belief of a lot of people. This technique has been around for thousands of years. It's not new. All the people in that book, in Think and Grow Rich, used the same exact technique. They all called it by different names, but it was the same exact thought process, every single one of them. And the way that it works, we need to go past the conscious mind to get in touch with it and get back in touch with the creativity. What we do most of the time in our lives is that we look for the answers where? Where do we look for answers, folks? Outside, somewhere else. Somebody else has got the answer. The answer's out there somewhere. And so we spend all our lives searching for it, and guess what? We don't find it because it's not out there. The answer is here within. When we have a medical problem, where do we go to solve it? To the doctor, right? Why would we go to the doctor to solve the medical problem? Because of what? Not just belief and programs, but to be real with it, why would we go to a doctor? Because the doctor is what? The doctor has the knowledge, right? He has the knowledge. Also, if you need to have something done medically, then you'd go to the clinic or the hospital. Why would you go there? Because they have the tools to do the work, right? Simple. If you have a car problem, where would you take it? To a mechanic. Why? Same reason. He has the knowledge. He takes it to his garage. Why does he put it in the garage? Because he has the tools to fix the problem. Correct? If you have a legal problem, where do you take it? To the lawyer. You go to his office. He's got the books. He's got the tools to solve the problem. You have an accounting problem. You take it to the bookkeeper. Same reason. Everything we do. And what we do is we get used to taking all of our problems to other people to solve them because they have more specific knowledge or information and tools to solve the problems. The fact is that every single person here has all the knowledge and all the tools that you could possibly ever use to solve any problem that exists for you in your life. You already have all that knowledge and all those tools right here within your mind right now. That's a fact. And all you need to do is get in touch with it at that level of mind, that subconscious, subjective level of mind, to open that door to have all the information, all the knowledge, and all the tools you could possibly ever want. The technique that we're going to do that will unleash that and open that door for you is called the workshop of the mind. Because if you have a problem or a project that you don't know the solution to or that you want to work on personally without taking it to someone else, where do you suppose you could take it? Where would you take it? To your mind, exactly. And if you create a workshop there with tools, guess what? You'll be able to solve the problem very quickly. So what we're going to do in a moment is you are going to create a workshop. And you're going to do it in a lot of creative, fun ways. Here's the way it's going to work. Why don't you put your notebooks away for a minute, and we'll practice this. The key to subconscious levels of mind is visualization, getting in touch with all the details, all right? Seeing the pictures. Once again, it goes all back to the same thing. Do the levels, screen of the mind, the pictures. Always back to the same simple thing. What I'd like you all to do is to just sit back for a moment, close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to do a simple visualization. Okay? Now, how many people felt the water, right? Your body reacted to the water, didn't it? The reason your body reacted to the water is because, once again, The subconscious mind runs your body. And so when you get physically involved by doing something physical like you just did, it fools the subconscious mind. It simply says, okay. And it says, here we are, climbing up the side of a 5-foot-tall styrofoam cup, right? And it sees that, it smells it, it feels it, and then you're inside the cup, and there's a 50-foot-tall person pouring ice-cold water in there, and your body reacts to it immediately because the subconscious doesn't know the difference. It's real to the subconscious mind, especially when you get physically involved. It just automatically accepts it as true. So what we want to do in creating the workshop is to get physically involved with it, because if you do that, you'll fool your subconscious mind, and it'll say, okay, and you will create a very, very, very powerful tool for yourself. What we're going to do is have fun with it. Get creative. Get childlike. Can we all do that for a few minutes? Get fun, childlike? You see, you've already all done this before. When you were children, do you remember putting blankets over chairs, or guys, we had tree forts, and ladies, and dollhouses, right? It's the same thing. We all did this before. We've all done this all our lives. We've done these techniques. And then we get older, people say, no, 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 it's time to grow up, time to get serious, right? What you're going to create in your workshop is a number of different things. I'm going to give you a couple of ideas. You can have anything you want in your workshop. It is your workshop. You can make it out of any materials you want. You can make it any design you want. You can put it anywhere you want, right? No limits. You can have it. It's yours. Nobody has to tell you anything about it. It's your workshop. You can do anything you like there, all right? I'm going to give you some ideas on some things to have there that are very, very powerful tools to use. And what you want to do is practice with them and use them. So I'm going to give you suggestions on what to have and how to use them, and you can add to this at any time you want and bring in anything you want to play with and work with in the workshop. First of all, what we'll be doing is be doing it in the form of a cycle, and also take some time for yourself to write in your notebooks about your workshop and your assistants. Put down details about it so you keep it in your mind real clear right now. And also, if you'd like a real good exercise, is write down how you feel about your workshop and your assistants. Okay? Here are some of the ways you can use the techniques of the workshop. This technique, the only limit this technique has is what we put on it. It is an infinite technique. It has infinite power. The only limit it has is what we put on it. When you use it, the clock and calendar, for example. How many people here have had difficulty making decisions about things before, right? Don't know whether to go this way or that way? Here's a way to use it. Anybody here in the stock market? Anybody do investments, stocks, things like that? Okay. Anybody gamble? Go to Tahoe, Vegas? Okay. Here's a few ideas. You might want to play with them. Right? Like I said, the only limits to this whole thing is what we put on it. You simply set your clock and your calendar ahead. A day, a month, a week, a year, whatever it is you'd like to see ahead, you set it ahead on the calendar, right? And then you make your decision one way, and you see what happens. Run a movie on the screen of your mind. Make your decision one way, set the clock ahead a certain amount of time, run the movie, and see what happens on the movie. Then retract the movie, have the calendar set ahead again, run the movie with the decision being made the other way, and see what happens. And then make your decision based on what you see on the screen. I just got back from Tahoe, and we had a good time and made some money. And making decisions. There's lots of ways to use these techniques. You might just want to play and see how powerful it really is. Play with that idea. You can run it to the past. If you did something successful in the past before that you'd like to repeat, take it back to the time when you did that. Run the movies. What did you do exactly that caused you to have success, or to cause you to make money, or to cause you to have a good relationship, whatever it was, right? If you did something that didn't work out so well, what caused it to fail? What caused it to not work so well? Watch the movie. See what caused it. Then don't do that again, right? Use it that way. The encyclopedia, computer area, whatever you have over there for your reference systems, use it. Go to it. Ask different things. You need information on something, instead of going to hire a lawyer about it, go to your workshop first and pull out a law book and just use your imagination and see what it says. You need to make an investment decision, just go to your computer or go to your books and pull out something that has exact information on what you want and take a look at it in your mind and see what it says. You might save yourself a lot of money. You know, just a possibility. Some examples, and I could give you examples for the rest of the day here today. We obviously don't have time for that. I'll give you a couple of quick ones. One of the younger people who had taken this class was out in San Francisco Bay on a large diesel yacht one time, and the engine stopped running on the yacht. They had a mechanical problem. And it just so happened that that day on the yacht, there was not a mechanic on board who knew how to handle the engine problem with this huge diesel engine, right? So what was going to have to happen was the Coast Guard was going to have to be called to come out and help these people get back into the harbor. Now, this 12-year-old boy, okay, who had no education at all in diesel mechanics, said, well, hang on a second. Let me just go to my workshop and see what the problem is. And he went to his workshop, and he went to a library and pulled out a book on diesel mechanics and engines. And I don't know what it said there or how simple it was or whatever. But he said, why don't we do this? And guess what? He fixed the engine. You know? I got a friend who, a graduate who's drilling wells, water wells. They were doing a major, major, large construction project, drilling a $100,000 welling system for this big project that they were doing. One day, there was a problem with the drilling project. The head engineer of the project was not on the job site that day. As a matter of fact, he was on vacation. He was in Europe. He was not able to be contacted. And the person who was running the job site that day did not have the, quote, engineering education to solve the problem. They did not know how to solve this problem, right? But what this person did, because he had been through this class and had a great workshop and used it very often, he said, wait a minute. And what happened in this particular incident was that if they didn't solve the problem quickly, they were going to be out about $40,000 because it was a major construction thing that was happening right at that moment. It needed to be solved now because if they didn't, it was going to screw up things bad, right? He said, hold it. He went to his workshop. He took out a filing diagram on how do I solve this problem? What needs to be done? And he just did it. And it's just imagination. That's all. Right? And he got the answer. He not only saved his company $40,000, but he solved the problem. Right? Just like that. You play with it. You see how much information is available. If the concept that we are all connected is valid, how powerful do you think this could get, folks? Think about that. Every bit of information, for those of you who study quantum mechanics or physics, anybody's into that kind of stuff these days, you know what I'm talking about. It's been proven scientifically. It is all connected. It does all affect each other. There are ways to connect to it. What that means, something for you to think about, is that every bit of knowledge that has ever been in existence on this planet is still available to everybody right now. And every bit of existence, to take it a step further, that will ever be available is also available right now. Interesting, right? Think about that. Thomas Edison used this to create all those wonderful things, movie projectors, lights, right? Where do you think he got those ideas from? He used his workshop, right? Medicine cabinet. Set up your medicine chest. Go there. Solve problems there. If you have a physical problem, go to the workshop. Use it, right? Brian Klemmer, one of the men I work with, a very phenomenal instructor for Psi-4. He's done lots of things with Psi-World. Been with Psi-World about 12 years. If he's ever here, you want to hear Brian. He is a very phenomenal man. He had a severe allergy problem for years and years and years and years. All his life, this major allergy problem. Went to doctor after doctor after doctor. Could not solve the allergy problem. Finally, he went to his workshop and created a medicine that would solve his allergy problem. And he started taking it daily. Brian has not had a single allergy for the past 10 years since he's been doing this. Gone. Immediately. Right? Same technique used with the cancer patients, used with the terminally ill kids. Use it for colds. Use it for anything. I got my ulcer solved in a month after 6 years of that problem using this technique. Right? Go there and use the medicine cap. Bring other people into the workshop. Solve their problems. Play with it. How to use the tools. Now, I did a lot of designing work in my business, and I needed to have creative, inspired ideas on a daily basis. And that is not always easy. It wasn't easy for me at one point in my life. And my business depended on that. I had to come up with stuff all the time, constantly. And some days I just wasn't in the mood, you know? You just wasn't inspired. When I started using this technique, I had such an access of information, it was unbelievable. I'd go to my little area where I created things, and I would create so many things instantaneously, solve problems there, because it's real easy to do here, see? Then when I came out of my levels and went to work on the project myself in reality, in physical reality, it went smooth as butter. None of the usual hassles. It was just boom, 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 boom. It was done, because I'd already done it here. That's how easy it became. I started bringing people in who had techniques in my business, who used to do techniques many, many centuries ago that were not being done again. People did not know how to reproduce them for some unknown reason. And I learned how to do some of those techniques, and I started doing it in my business. And I made a lot of money because nobody else knew how to do it. Use the techniques, folks. Find out how it works. You want to talk to somebody, bring them into the table. Have them sit down. Talk to them. You got a relationship problem with somebody that you're having trouble with? Bring them to the workshop. Resolve it there. Call somebody on the phone. Talk to them. You're going to go see somebody for a job interview, something like that? Call them up on the phone ahead of time. Talk to them. Find out where they're at. What do they want? You know? What do they want to hear? You got a new customer you want to create? Bring them into the workshop. Create them in the workshop. See what happens. All of a sudden, you'll start seeing them in real life. You want to create your relationship? Bring them into the workshop. I mean, you could even put a bedroom in your workshop. Right? I'm serious. People do it. You know, the kids have no problem with any of this stuff. They have all kinds of things. Wherever your workshop is, that's great. People have them up in outer space. They have them in the backseat of cars. They have them in mountains. They have them under the sea. You know, they actually sports. Screen the mind for sports. Anybody here is involved in sports? You know, the Olympic teams use these techniques constantly. This is not new stuff. They see the perfect end result. That's how they're always breaking records, by doing it here first. Then they do it there afterwards. Right? Start working with the ideas. Telephones, screens, all that stuff. The assistants, I'll touch on that briefly. If you got both assistants, great. If you only got one assistant, that's great. If you didn't get any assistants, that's great. Whatever you got is fine. All right? The assistants represent the male and female energies in all of us. We are all made up of male and female parts. Right, that is a medical fact, by the way. People can go look that up if they want. The male and female assistants represent the subjective impressions of how we relate to those male and female parts. If you got only one assistant, what you want to do is talk to that assistant and find out why you didn't get the other one. If you didn't get any assistance, what you want to do is talk to thin air in your workshop and find out how come you didn't get any assistance. If you got anything other than a human being for an assistant, send that back into the elevator and ask for a human being, okay? Sometimes they'll get an object or an animal or a plant or something as an assistant. There's a reason for that. I don't know what it is. You do. You have your answers. I don't know what that represents for you, but you do. And so if you talk with that, you will find out about it, okay? If your assistants don't talk to you, there's a reason why they don't talk to you. Find out why. Keep talking to them. Your assistants will change over a period of time. You will discover that very quickly. For those of you who go on to Sci-5 and get rid of some programs, you're going to see your workshops change instantly. It's real interesting what happens. You see how your assistants change real quickly also, right? Because they're representations of how we believe and how we think about things. So work with it, right? Work with the idea here. Keep expanding on it. Go use the techniques. Use them, use them, use them. Talk to the assistants. That's the most important thing, because the assistants represent the subconscious mind talking to you. And what cuts off the communication are the programs. They stop us from hearing things all the time. Imagine William Wrigley, right? What did William Wrigley create? Chewing gum, right? Billionaire from chewing gum. Can you imagine when he first came up with that idea, he went into his board of directors and says, hey guys, I got this super idea. We're going to take the sap out of trees. We're going to flavor it a little bit. We're going to wrap it in tinfoil. We're going to sell it for a penny a piece. We're going to make millions. People are going to chew it for a while, spit it out, and put more in their mouth. Right? What do you think the people around him said? He said, William has flipped, man. He's off the deep end here, you know? Because skepticism is another program. It stops us from hearing the real answers that are there all the time. Get past that stuff, right? He listened to the crazy intuitive voice. Singer, when he created the Singer sewing machine, does anybody know the story how he did that? He He had a dream, right? He saw some people throwing spears, and what he saw was the spear had the hole in the opposite end, and he got the idea of how to create the hole in the needle to make the sewing machine work, right? Real alpha level of mind. All the solutions are there, always, for every single problem. If you don't know the answer to a problem that you have, you want to find a solution, here's where you find it, in your workshop, because you do have the answers. So use it.